Hi, I'm Sam Smeltzer, and you're listening to the Heartworker Book Club podcast, where we talk about the powerful cultivation practice of reading and writing to inspire both personal and professional growth. You're tuning in during the 2022 Book Club, where we dive into the practice of reading just 10 pages a day to uncover some life-changing lessons in three incredible books. Welcome to the club, and I'm so happy you're here. So what about, like, so these books are all, you know, nonfiction. They're written by, you know, Adam Grant is, I follow him on social media now. He's very blunt about how he's going to share his opinions because he believes, you know, in the field that he's in, he's got to put it out there, and not speaking is doing a disservice. And of course, I'm a people watcher, so I watch the comments as people, you know, dive in and dig on things that they want to dive in and dig and poke at. And, you know, when I start following, you know, the Han Foundation, I mean, Han's not still around, but, you know, looking at all those kinds of things. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, you listen to us in our conversations and we talk about the good tidbits that come out of here. Yet, I don't think that the perception that we want to give is that we believe that these books contain 100% truth or the way.
Right.
And so I think, you know, hearing you talk about practice makes learning. I mean, this is about how these books generate learning. And I know there's a couple times we've had conversations where Liza will call out, I'm not sure where they're going. But I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt till we kind of wind back. And then sometimes I don't think we ever get to catch when it's wound back or it's made sense. And sometimes we're so excited to talk about things that really resonate with us. Has there been anything that you read in these three books that you found really challenging or maybe that you didn't necessarily agree with? Maybe was kind of at that same rub that you're kind of hinting at the listeners of, like, this is hard for me. To know, you know, what it means about me, if this is true. What, like, any moments like that kind of come to mind as you're, we have lots of nodding happening. Lots of nodding.
I mean, I think what I'll say is, especially the Grant book for me, I don't know if I would say that it's met with resistance. I'm not saying that it's met with resistance, but I think that it's very hard to put into practice some of this, some of these things that we've been so conditioned to think. And I think sometimes it can be hard to be that one person. And I'm not saying I'm the one person, but it can be hard to be that person in a group of people that's like, have we thought about rethinking this situation? And then you see the look and you're like, okay, nope, guess we haven't. So I'm just going to back off. And then you stop practicing. I think that's the default for most people. And so this book, for me, seemed pretty idealistic. A lot like Cinex last year. But I think that it's a reminder that this type of work is hard, right? So I think Grant's perspective from an organizational, you know, like he talked about individual interrelationships and community. I think that work is hard. But I also think, you know, the work for Han, I will say from a personal standpoint, if you've never been exposed to spirituality and understanding like how to be with yourself to figure out kind of where you fit in the spiritual field, that's also really hard. And I think it's very easy for people to say, okay, you know, that's your own thing. Like, you deal with it, right? Like, that we don't talk about those kinds of things in groups. And so I think the challenge with books like this and learning like this is how do you push the groupthink mentality kind of, right? Like, am I going to be the odd one out that's talking about this stuff? And will people look at me strange? And maybe that's, you know, yeah. Maybe that's something that I struggle with. So I think that can be difficult when you read books like that.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing about, like, going off the mentality-wise is I don't think the mama mentality is meant for everybody. There are people who just want to do stuff just for enjoyment of it. You don't have to be the best basketball player or the best football player in the world. The mama mentality has a good message of putting the best effort into it, but There are things in life where you just want to enjoy it. I enjoy sports. I'm not going to go out there every day and like pursue a sports career because there's certain things you want to keep passion wise versus you want to keep as a profession. There's advice I was given where you never want to do your passion for a job. So kind of one of those where it might be the perfect thing for Sam or Liza or Karen, it might not be the best for me. Because like for me, example wise, I always had the dreams of like wanting to be a athlete. And like if I was a younger person wanting to read the Mamba Mentality and I put in 1,000 hours of gym time for like a basketball or field time for football, it might not be the best fit for yourself. So kind of like taking bits and pieces of it and say, hey, Kobe had a good aspect about winning and losing. I like that versus putting 1,000 hours of work in. If it's something you love, then yes. But if you are, if you're in college or you're in a situation where you're kind of lost and you just say, oh, I'll just do what my dad does. I'm an ophthalmologist. This is not the kind of thing for you. So you have to kind of like pick the audience and kind of like think and say, hey, is this the right book for somebody or the right mentality? I've seen it where professionals who they love their career so much and like this would be the perfect thing to give, or like someone who is questioning like stepping over boundaries in a career they love, versus if you were giving it to someone who might not be in a kind of mental state or any sort of mindset to say, I really don't care. So kind of like figuring out if you want to challenge yourself or not. Because I know some friends of mine who are just like, yeah, I'm just having fun, where other friends want to challenge themselves, read the newspaper, or like think about issues. So you kind of have to like know your audience and know what you're trying to convey to people. Because some people might say, why are you telling me to do all this when it's not my career? Or why are you telling me all this when I don't like sports? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like taking the perspective of how can I talk to someone and use bits from Mamba Mentality or use bits from Adam Grant or Living Buddha, Living Christ.
Mm-hmm. Well, I found that in Mamba Mentality, that although Kobe had just an unusual way of thinking about things, and he clearly pushed himself physically on every level, in the beginning of the book, I remember just thinking, you know, something's got to give. Mm-hmm. Something's got to give. He's got to be, you know, you cannot do it all. And I think by the end of the book, it seemed pretty clear his personal life definitely suffered as a result. And that was his choice. And there was a sense that he seemed to have that he was in some ways superior because he had this amazing practice and these amazing gifts and this amazing way of thinking. So what I take away from that is all the respect in the world to Kobe Bryant for what he did, and to understand that that is not everybody's choice. Mm-hmm. And it's okay that it's not everybody's choice. For Adam Grant's book, again, there were a lot of assumptions I felt that, you know, it's easy in hindsight to look back on a situation and say, well, it's because somebody didn't think outside of the box, or mm-hmm. they didn't look at it from a different perspective. That's hindsight. And certainly we can learn a lot from the hindsight. But there were, in reading it, I think I felt sometimes maybe that he was making a lot of assumptions. And because, you know, he has grown up, or he has fashioned his work and his life around businesses and that kind of culture. So I did not grow up in a business culture. So I would think of things maybe a little differently even from what he was suggesting in the book. That doesn't mean that the way that I think about things would have been successful in any of the examples. Mm-hmm. Maybe not even in one of those examples. But it just was, I did feel at times that he was projecting a lot in the book. And then for Living Buddha, Living Christ, there is a sense in a lot of different Christian denominations that religions outside of Christianity fall flat mm-hmm. in one way or another. Buddhism, the charge was that it's a very self-centered faith, that it is, does not feel that it is responsible for its brother, kind of thing. And by it, I mean the religion as a whole. So I did, that was shattered in this book. Mm. That was shattered. I saw Buddhism from a completely different perspective. At the same time, I picked up on patronizing Christians. I picked up on Buddhists possibly, or at least from this perspective, feeling that Christians are falling flat. And then I just had to giggle. Mm. And I thought, well, don't we all just do that to each other mm-hmm. all the time? Isn't it great to know that these amazing religious leaders are just as flawed as I am, mm-hmm. just as flawed as any of us are? Mm-hmm. So even though I picked up on those things and I kind of had this expectation that this would be, you know, these would be completely, perfectly well-rounded people, they're just as jagged-edged as I am and as any of us are. Yeah. So that was sort of what I picked up from these three books.
Well, and you know, it's really interesting because, you know, the time that we're in right now, like, one of the things that I'm so fascinated about is, like, thinking about when we are 20, 30 years into the future and we look back at how we process things now that you can go back in hindsight and kind of break it down. And I think the Think Again book really, and I think it's combination with the Han book, it just gave me hope of some things that just seem so frustrating right now that will be viewed and have the other perspective shown one day, even though we're just all too in it and too close and too hurt and too tired to really kind of figure it out. But I do think, you know, we're in a moment that's very unique for history. I think it's one that's going to change some very powerful ripples that gives me a lot of hope for my children. Mm. And I also think that it's awakening. These books have awakened something in me. I think not necessarily agreeing with everything, but more so affirming for me things that I knew about myself, but like had always thought that I should hide from the world. And whether that is a political, a religious viewpoint, because gosh knows, as an HR lady, I shut that all off. Like, I am neutral. I'm Switzerland. But now I talk about certain things, like, you know, talking about, and this is something where you think, like women's rights. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I'm a woman. I should probably talk about women's rights. HR pounds it out of you that you are neutral on everything. Mm-hmm. And there are some things that have been happening that I'm actively talking about that at work. Never thought that I would be talking about that. Talking about it in alignment with how we are moving forward and the work that I want to be doing. You know, talking about diversity in a way that we've never talked about diversity, at least since I've been in my career. Yeah. Beyond, you know, the Noah's Ark theory of two of every kind means that I have a diverse employer. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's interesting to me. And I will say one of the things that I think is really, really like kind of hinting at this change is that I'm seeing from an employment standpoint, this confusion and disconnect between the new employees and the employer of what to do with these new employees. So I'm seeing like faster terminations, but these terminations are very confusing because they're not as clean cut. Like they're not meeting my expectations. And I'm like, okay, well maybe we need to think again about our expectations. Mm. And they're like, what are you talking about? Because we've been doing this for XYZ. And so it's just interesting to watch this. I mean, my husband almost hints at it like a civil war happening in the corporate world between employee and employer. But I mean, that's a powerful thing to be having happen. Like, I can't even imagine, like, forever it's been company loyalty. You know, my dad taught me you're there till you die or you retire, and that's what you're trying to find. Or go start it on your own and go make your own thing. So to see things that are happening that I never thought would is so amazing. But then I'm going to go back and say, would I be witnessing it if you had not opened my mind with these books? I mean, because I know, like, maybe Adam Grant, because Karen and I have pretty similar tastes, maybe would have found Mamba Mentality. I told you that I did not like Kobe. There's no way Mamba Mentality would have ever came into my home. Maybe some other sports book, but that just would not happen. And Living Buddha, Living Christ. I mean, things that you're sharing about Buddhism. I mean, Christianity and Buddhism has that weird polarization where there's religious leaders that say whatever. And so I would put it. And that's somebody who's, you know, studying Chinese medicine and still kind of, you know, so it's, you know, this continuing learning is really key for us to stop that polarization that you're talking about. So I know there's not a question there because I kind of just went on some random riff. But I'm going to say, since this is our final episode and we haven't seen each other for a while, do any of you have any final wonders for the group about the book or about in general? Because I think we're talking about the books, but I think the lessons are so much greater than that. And sometimes I know some of you have some great wonders. So do you have any wonders that you brought this evening?
I would say, just to go off that last conversation with, like, the wonders, is sometimes there's too much of an idolization of a athlete or a high level figure where people try to attain that status. And like Living Buddha, Living Christ, you can do something and be successful doing the complete opposite of someone who is quote unquote societally successful. You can look at artists the same way as, let's just say, a PhD doctor. They're both successful, but they're two different avenues. So like with Living Buddha, Living Christ, Christianity is one sort of way of trying to find the Lord and Savior. Buddhism has their way of finding their higher being, and you can kind of like figure out how you want to go about your life. And Mamba Mentality is kind of like idolizing someone who's put so much time in and was successful. There are people in the world who put so much time in to say, like, why am I not successful? So kind of like idolizing people who have the resources, time, and that, and the money, where like there are other people who don't have the monetary funds or don't have the time because they're trying to raise a family, and deep down they're very successful, but they don't have the things like the fancy watches, shoes, or all the people around them. But in a way they're successful because they're raising a family, have kids, or have a successful life in a way that people might not say, oh, well, you don't have a Lamborghini. So it's kind of like making success more attainable, where like Living Buddha, Living Christ, it's kind of more attainable because it's at your fingertips. As much as I love sports and I love athletes, a lot of those things are not attainable. Tomorrow I'm not going to get a Formula One license because that's stupidly hard, versus other things where I can go to a Penn State game. That to me is part of success, or be a season ticket holder. Mm-hmm. So like changing your mindset on stuff where people might be successful, but different ways of success creates a more diverse way, and people can say, hey, you can be a plumber and be very successful versus going out and trying to be an athlete or going out and being a PhD. There's all different levels of success, putting food on your table and kind of like being your own person.
Do you think that we would have gotten as much out of Mamba Mentality if that was the only book that we read?
No. Not at all.
That's a great point. No, because we were constantly comparing and contrasting and finding that thread, and that thread was just like there. It was so obvious, so strong. And because of it, we all learned like so much more from each book.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when he was talking about the idolization, like I was like, would I have been so turned off? Like every time we talked about it, I would have been like, I don't like Kobe. Like, this is just making me not like Kobe more. Like, would I have not gotten there? Like, it makes me really wonder, because even in certain areas where I didn't agree with maybe his thought process or what was happening, or it confirmed what I thought about him as a player at certain points in time, I still was able to be open-minded, and I don't know if that would have happened. Would I have faked reading it? Like, I hate to say that, but that would be like what I did back in grade school, where I would have showed up and be like, yeah, I read it. I totally did not. Looked at the pictures and it irritated me enough. But isn't that an interesting kind of wonder?
Yeah. Because when you look at idols, you could say, oh, well, Tom Brady. It's like, oh, everybody's knee-jerk reaction is like, oh, Tom Brady. Versus like Michael Jordan, where everybody loves him, but he kind of was not the nicest person and really didn't treat his teammates well. And like, there's a story, I believe, back in like the Olympics where he pushed everybody so hard, and everybody's like, I don't want to play with this guy. But if you want to win or be the most successful, you want to play with the Bulls, or you want to play in the U.S. Olympic team, versus having a environment where people actually want to come. There are NFL coaches and NFL like people where you want to come to that franchise. One of my favorite teams, the Philadelphia Eagles, has one of the most rough fan bases. People are like, I don't want to go to the Eagles. You either love them or hate them. There's kind of a way that if you look at Living Buddha, Living Christ, or Think Again, you can kind of bridge that and say, why are Eagles fans so rough? It might be because the city, or might be because of the people in the fan base, but you can try to like understand them. One thing that I tried to understand, and it took the life of me, was try to think from a Cowboys fan's perspective. The Eagles fans should not want to do that, but like, they have a lot of similarities to me. It's like, that really feels weird saying that I'm very similar to a Cowboys fan, but like, taking that perspective and saying we want the same goal and like, watched a team win. You might hate that one team, but deep down you're in the same boat as that other person.
I think that's really interesting. The wonder for me about these three books and just us reading in general as a group is I have gotten a lot of self-discovery out of reading, and I think so the reason why I'm trying to connect it to what you're saying is it's very easy, I think, for us to say, oh, that idol or that star or that person that has their PhD, I want to be like that. But I think what I've been learning mostly about myself when I've been reading these is how much work we forget to put in ourselves. Like, it's not about Kobe, me being like Kobe. It's not about me wanting to be like Adam Grant. It's about how do I day-to-day practice the 1, 2, 3 things that I've learned so that I can be better, different, whatever, right? And that's hard because I think we're very, at least I'll say for myself, I'm very used to being, not thinking about myself and thinking about like, what does the organization need? What does the community need? What does my family need? What can I do for them? And I'm not thinking about how do I take care of me so that I can do all those things better, differently. And so whether it's reading or exposing yourself to other people, traveling, culture, food, we've talked about the impact that food has, like that learning is for, you know, my wonder is just like, what am I going to learn next book I read mm-hmm. about myself?
We need a food book.
We need a food book.
Not saying that you have to. Maybe you'll find a sports book and Ben will find a food book.
Challenge accepted.
What about you, Liza? Any final wonders?
I just would have to say that I agree with what you were saying. Would we have gotten enough, or would we have gotten as much out of reading just one and versus reading all three? And they're all three so very different, come from, you know, and would we have chosen them ourselves? We wouldn't have. So it's just, I'm much richer for the experience. Mm-hmm. Very grateful for the experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's like a wrap on season 2 of the book club. I mean, my gosh, it's been, I feel like the book reading went so much faster. Probably because Ben picked the picture book. No, I'm just kidding. But I mean, which I like totally loved because I think that book gave so much space for powerful reflection. If you didn't hear those, go back and listen to the other episodes because we were definitely diving in on those things. And this group's not done. I mean, this group, as you know, I'm very grateful to find three other people who experience the power of cultivating through reading, you know. And before Karen and Liza got here, Ben was here and had talked about, well, you're an avid reader. I'm not an avid reader. I love books, but I'm not an avid reader. And I make myself do it because I have projects. Most of them, it's not fun reading. Like, reading a Chinese textbook is, my gosh, I have to read a paragraph at a time and then, like, meditate so I understand what the magical meaning is. And so, you know, some of these books, like, I may have on my shelf but never get around to reading. And when we do it together, it really is so powerful. And I feel so moved and motivated, and I just show up better. And so it energetically does something. And then the meetings and coming together, like the power of connection, you know. So there's so much happens here. And it's even made me more inspired to write and understand what the power is. I mean, because I used to be like, oh, I can write a book, big whoop. Like, everybody can do that. All of you can write words on. But to know that the power that can be there and generate discussions like this, where it's not my truth being shared, but like people awakening and learning and becoming more authentic and vulnerable, and which is Brené Brown, Ben. So you need to read some Brené Brown, which tells you how varied we are, because Ben, we just discovered, has never read a Brené Brown book, and I don't didn't even know who she was. So I don't know how that happened, but we're going to get him on the Brené.
Change that.
He's going to know all about Brené. Next year, all books by Brené. Just kidding.
Disagree.
Just kidding. Holy all right. Any other final words for anybody before we say goodbye to the listeners this year? You know, if you're listening to this podcast, you love this book club, make sure you reach out to us here at the Heart Center. We'll keep you in the loop as to how this is evolving. And, you know, we've had some great discussion ideas about where this might be going next. Really all about really maximizing this practice and still sharing it with all of you. So thanks for listening. And I'm sure I will probably be talking in your ear within the next week, but these guys will be back next year. And thanks for being here. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Heartworker Book Club podcast. I hope that it served you. And if it did, the best way that you can support this podcast is by leaving a review on your favorite listening platform. And until next time, happy reading and writing.